This message is the property of H. David Edwards and Elam Bible Institute, and presented free of charge for private use only. Permission to use this message publicly may be requested by contacting Elam Bible Institute at 7245 College Street, Lima, New York, 14485.
With joy, the Elam Tape Department brings you David Edwards. The title of this message is Luke 18. It was given on January 21st, 1979, at Elam Bible Institute.
I'd like to draw your attention briefly this morning to a portion of Scripture in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'd like to read from verse 9, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And he spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I've often wished that I with you could hear the words of our Lord as they heard them, and hear them as though we were hearing them for the first time. Because I suspect that this parable does not make the same impact upon us as it made upon them. Because when we hear the parable, we already know the kind of man that the Pharisee is, and we are sympathetic towards the publican. I suspect that most of us here this morning would identify ourselves with the prayer of the publican rather than with the prayer of the Pharisee. One of the things that would be good for us to recognize is that until the time of Jesus, nobody had a bad word to say about the Pharisees. And nobody had a good word to say about the publicans. This was a new voice and a new note that was sounded. The Pharisees persist to this day. The Hasidic Jews who have been in the news recently are the 20th century descendants of those who were called the Pharisees. And you can't help but recognize them. Many of them live in one of the ghetto sections of Brooklyn, and they're obvious. Once one is pointed out to you, then you can tell all the others. Some of the other Pharisees, of course, are not as easily recognized. Jesus spoke this parable to certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men, because from heaven's point of view, whether or not you are a Pharisee or a publican is a matter of indifference. From heaven's point of view, they were just two men. And God would not lend any weight to the Pharisee, nor would he withdraw anything from the publican, simply because the one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. I have no question but that some Pharisees will be found in the number of those who are redeemed. Because we need to remember that Nicodemus was a Pharisee and the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. I have no doubt equally that there will be some publicans who will be among those who are lost. Because it's not enough to be a publican to be redeemed, nor is it enough to be a Pharisee to be lost. I don't think I will ever forget the comment of a friend of mine on this same parable. He said, "This is the mystery of the gospel, why bad men go to heaven and good men go to hell." And I am sure that most people who heard him say that had an automatic reaction which said, he's a little bit confused. Because even now, most of us believe that good men go to heaven and bad men go to hell. But the wonder of the gospel is, I think, correctly expressed in my friend's perception. And as Jesus said here, that bad men go to heaven and good men go to hell. Two men went up into the temple. They knew where to go in order to find God and converse with him. They were not satisfied with the God of nature who does not make demands upon us, but they knew the place where God might be found and be addressed. And they both went up with the same motivation. Each of them went to the temple to pray. They resemble each other not only in the way that they went and the place where they went to, but each of them addressed himself to God. The Pharisee did. Although sometimes we hear those words, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, as though his prayer were only addressed to himself. I think a comparison of other places in the New Testament where those words are found would let us know that he communed with himself inwardly. And he addressed himself to God with an attitude of respect and an attitude of thankfulness. He said, "God, I thank thee." Now that is to be commended in any one of us. There perhaps it was that the difference between the Pharisee and the publican began. Because although he offered his prayer to God, he really wasn't praising God, but praising himself to God. And yet none of the things that he said about himself are things to be despised. I am sure that there are many of us here who would want to be able to say the kind of things that the Pharisee said, but find that we can't, because in all honesty, we know that we would be contradicting ourselves if we were to do so. None of those things for which he commended himself to God is bad. "I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." There's nothing wrong in having that kind of character. This man was very sincere and very diligent in the way in which he practiced his faith. Because most often you can tell the extent of a man's faith by the way that it affects his stomach and his pocketbook. And this Pharisee said, "I fast twice in the week." I wonder how many of us do. He said, "I give tithes of all that I possess." It would be good for us to do that. And there his prayer ends. You see, the Pharisee was obliged to do what many of us are obliged to do when he stood before God. And that is that we find someone else by which to measure ourselves. And no matter how bad you are, you can always find someone who is worse. And even if you find someone who is as good as you are, when you make a comparison between yourselves, there is a subtle difference which we make. We take our best and his worst. We take our principles and his practices. We take our creed and his conduct. We take our doctrine and his behavior. And you can't help but come off best when that kind of thing happens. And it is inevitable whenever we begin to compare ourselves with another that two things happen. The two things that Jesus had in mind in speaking this parable. The two things that he had in mind, which are characteristic of the people to whom he addressed the parable, is that they are proud of themselves and despise others. You can't help but do that when the standard of your growth or maturity is the standard of another. The Pharisees were proud of themselves. There was one Pharisee in history who said, if there are two people in the world who are righteous, they are my son and I. If there is only one, I am he. The Pharisee was like the man who had a reputation for being a marksman because his friends followed him as he went through the woods. And he would shoot at trees, and there would be a target marked on the tree. And every time his bullet hole was in the center of the target. There was never a time when it was just an inner. It was always a bull. So somebody said to him, how does it happen that you're such a good marksman? He said, well, I shoot first, and I draw the ring afterwards. Paul himself talked about those who were foolish enough so as to judge themselves by themselves. The publican? I rather imagine that the Pharisee felt good that he was going into the temple with a publican. Who would he have had to compare himself with had the publican not been there? He was grateful for the guidance that brought him to the temple at just the right time. Grateful not only for his guidance, but grateful for the guidance that brought the publican there. It was an opportune moment. The publican had nothing to do but to stand by himself afar off and would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I read about the choir that was an excellent choir, but had an unfortunate habit of singing flat. And at a particular competition where they were to sing, when they had made some progress with the rendering, the accompanist recognized that they were half a tone off. So he very skillfully adjusted his hands on the keyboard so that again they were in tune with his accompanying. He did that three times throughout the presentation. So when they had to sound a long note at the end, the piano and the choir were exactly in tune. And the accompanist and the choir thought that they would get away with it. But when the piece was finished, before they marched off the stage, the judge walked over to the piano and sounded the one note where they should have ended, a tone and a half higher from where they did. And you didn't have to be a very skillful musician or to have a very good ear to recognize the difference between where they were, which was only a tone and a half away, and where they should have been. I was obliged to think about this yesterday because I got a somewhat painful telephone call in the afternoon. And I had to say to the person who was calling me. The only thing that will give God entrance into your life is the recognition of your need. And that was the major difference between the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee had no need. He had compared himself with other men and supposed that because he was better than the worst, that he had no need. The publican, a collaborator, a traitor, a man in the eyes of his fellows who had sold his soul, possibly because of the pressure of his fellow countrymen, had no deserving self-image and knew that he was guilty. And yet, because of the awareness of his need, there was a door into his life that was opened wide, through which God could pour the splendor of his grace. I want to say to you this morning that it's not bad to have the kind of character and the kind of life that was typified by this Pharisee. There's nothing wrong with being upright, with being diligent, with being disciplined, with being sincere, with having your faith affect your purse and your appetite. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But when we begin to have confidence in those things, then we close the door in our life through which God's grace is made available to us. I think about the Apostle Paul. In one of the earliest letters that he wrote, he called himself an apostle. Later, he wrote of himself as being less than the least of all saints. But in one of the last letters that he wrote, he called himself the chief of sinners. It was not that his practice had deteriorated during those years. What had happened was that he had become more aware of who God is and what he is and what he demands. He'd become more aware of the difference that there was between what God was looking for in him and what it was that he was able to bring to him. And I want to say to you this morning that the justification that we have for coming and availing ourselves of what it is that he offers to us in this communion table is that we have a need and he has a supply. I looked for a hymn and I found that the verse that I wanted us to sing was not in the hymnal. And it says in one of its lines, "Naked, look to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace." I remember reading of a communion service that was celebrated in Edinburgh Cathedral. The man who was officiating was a godly man by the name of Rabbi Duncan, professor in the university. And he watched the ushers serve the bread and the wine. And he noticed that one woman, when the bread was offered to her, refused to take it. And he hurried down the aisle and took the plate away from the usher. And he went back to this woman and he touched her by the shoulder and put the plate very directly in front of her. And he said, "Take it, woman. It's for sinners." That's the claim that we have on God this morning. We've been made aware of the awful gap that there is between us and him. The awful difference that there is between what we are and what he looks for. Jesus said, that man who was aware of his need went down to his house justified rather than the other. For he that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
This is the end of our message. As this tape has inspired you, we encourage you to share it with a friend. For additional tapes or a tape catalog, write to Elam Tape Department, Lima, New York, 14485.